Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to our call today. We are in part two of three on the befriend your fear work and technique. And so last week, our first call, we kind of looked at foundational principles that are important for us to know and understand about fear and human nature and fear and human response and reaction and fear. So we kind of set the foundational principles that, as practitioners, some of the ones that we want to be thinking about when it comes to fear. On our call today, we're gonna start looking at, so now that we know those foundational principles, how do we help ourselves and our clients? What is the technique? What are the pieces that we want to take a look at? What are the steps that we need to move through? And so we'll really look at those today. I'll start teaching you about the befriend your fear process, and then we'll move through it together. We'll look at it as a group so that you can start to experience each of the parts and the steps. And then next week, our kind of like to round all of it out, I'll be doing a demo, so a one-on-one demo. Using the befriend your fear process. And then we'll break down each of the pieces of it, each of the techniques, each of the parts of it together. And so hopefully between those three classes, you'll really get like a full, complete picture of this. In addition, I'll also send you another recorded session of a one-on-one with the befriend your fear process and breaking it down. So you'll get just more exposure to it. And I'll send you some other goodies as well, which we'll get to as we move through today. So that's kind of the like where we're going and how we're breaking all of this down. So today we'll really start to hone in on the process. But before we do, I want to just do like really a quick review of some of the foundational pieces that we looked at last week, just to kind of bring them back top of mind as we look at the prop, start to look at the process today. So last week, we looked at the relationship, the difference between, and the relationship between resistance and fear. So resistance is almost like the symptoms, the ways that we don't move forward on the things that we want. And the resistance oftentimes acts as a distraction from actually looking at the fear itself, which is kind of right. I almost think of it as like the resistance is wrapped around the fear in a way. And so, as practitioners, we absolutely need to support our clients in kind of loosening up the resistance, but that's really in service of them being able to more directly work with the fear. So, we looked at that. We looked at why it's important to befriend fear versus vanquish it or destroy it, right? And that has so much to do with our perspective on fear, right? And how much we either see it as a pathology or we see it as normal and healthy, right? We kind of looked at that metaphor of the fire alarm, like that our fear is really there to serve and support us and protect us and keep us safe. It's just that sometimes that sensor on the alarm is, it's like a little too sensitive, right? It goes off when it doesn't need to. It goes off on things that When we were younger, whatever younger means, or had less resources or were in a different place in our lives, that alarm actually needed to go off for our survival. And it just doesn't almost realize that we have some different resources now. The fear also goes off when it should, too, like to legitimately protect us sometimes, right? There are some places that we're not ready to venture into, or that really are not aligned, or can for real threaten our survival. So we need it. It is a very healthy function that we need. We looked a bit at this concept of risk and what it means to risk and how there's always something to risk when we're moving into a new place for ourselves, and how our egos don't like to risk. Our egos would prefer much of the time to stay comfortable. We looked at safety being necessary in some ways, but also an illusion in other ways, and how that relates to risk and fear and comfort. And of course, we looked at a lot of other things, but that's kind of like the brief boil down. And so I'd love to hear from one or two of you, what has been resonating for you since last week? What have you really been seeing for yourself or for your clients, or what's really been with you around all of these pieces? What have you been noticing? Who wants to share? Sharon.
Hi. Well, I guess it's good timing. Well, something is just kind of up for me right now, actually, because someone who I know locally, who had a few one-off sessions with me, basically had talked herself into doing 6-month mentorship with me. I wasn't really pushing it. I offered it as an option. I was willing to keep going, doing one-off sessions with her. She basically talked herself into it. We're supposed to start this week. I billed her for the first part this morning. And I just heard from her that she does not want to do that. And I understand all the reasons, and I'm not totally surprised. I literally saw this email right before we got on this call. Mm. So, maybe I just needed to be able to say that. I don't really get that it's resistance on her part. I think she was getting very excited about something that wasn't financially realistic for her. Mm-hmm. She kept talking herself into it. We would be on the phone and on Zoom, and she'd be looking on her phone at my sales page going, oh, that, yeah, I want that. So I don't know if you have anything to offer about that. I'm still going to do sessions with her because I love her. She gets a lot out of working with me. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different things. I'll say just a couple things, unless there's a specific question that you have.
No, I think just since nobody else was raising their hand with a burning anything, I thought, well, here's an opportunity to not just be sitting with this and kind of, yeah. You know, I don't want to come back at her with any reactivity.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so then just because you just said that, let me ask you, what is the energy that you want to hold when you respond to her?
That, you know, I'm here for her in whatever way works, which was kind of what I was saying all along. I think what's just so interesting is it was like she was talking herself into yeah. that. Into yeah. that, I'm ready for this. The 6 months, it feels right.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to acknowledge you for not, it doesn't sound like you're attached. It sounds like you're disappointed, which yeah. is, of course.
And not 100%, and not 100% surprised.
Right. It sounds like you're not attached, which is great. Like, we can be disappointed, but we don't yes. want to, like, Right. So it also sounds like from a higher perspective, if you're really in your highest wisdom on it, you see that this isn't resistance out of fear or like it's not, she's just not in the right place at the moment. Right. So that's another thing to acknowledge and celebrate, right? To be able to see that and to acknowledge and celebrate that, like, she does want to do this work with you. Yeah. Where my business mind goes is there a middle ground between what she's doing now and what the 6-month mentorship is that would be an aligned next fit for her?
I don't have anything set up. I would have to sit with that.
Yeah. I mean, so that's what I would just ask you is, from what you know of her and what you think is possible and what feels right for you, mm-hmm. is there a middle ground place so that she can receive more support,
right.
So that she can invest more possibly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean fully, like not just money of herself, her energy, like in order to be supported, and can it be a win-win for the both of you? So that would be a place to think on and then have a conversation with her about.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I will, like I said, literally 12:59, I was reading that email. So yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Rose.
Yes, thank you. This conversation about the last few weeks, resistances, archetypes, and then last week about fear is really helpful. I feel like my relationship with fear is expanding, like the range in which I think and feel about it. Mm. And therefore it's affecting my client sessions. And I think last week, even though you've talked about it before, it hit me a little differently this week when you talked about stretch, risk, or die. And what I really discovered in myself, my big aha, was that, you know, as a child, I had a lot of fear and it was justified and and it was all in the die category. And so I grew up, using language like I always felt like I was going to die. And that's just outworn language and reality. And so for me, the big reframe has been, and I realize I've spent a lot of my energy in life avoiding fear because I thought it was unsafe and unhealthy and unsafe. So this stretch, risk, or die is helping me reassess my own threshold and recognize that I can stretch and risk. And I have been asking my clients to do that. So it's just been really organic and, I haven't been thinking about it, but I'm just shifting and I'm changing around this whole subject of fear, which is, I've always said I have a really firsthand personal relationship with fear and it's changing. So thank you. This is really very helpful.
Oh, I'm so, so happy to hear it. I'm so happy to hear it, Rose, for you and your clients. And what you're speaking to a number of things, but one of the things you're speaking to, we're going to get more into it today, which is that once we create this relationship with the fear, which you're doing, you're relating to it in a different way, you're befriending it, then we have more choice in the decisions that we make.
Right.
Then we can assess, do I want to stretch? Do I want to risk? Right? It gives us more freedom to do that. And I really see that that's what you're starting to step into.
It's this range idea. I just love the idea of range. You know, when you grow up black and white, and you recognize there's all this in between and the middle, and it's just lots of room. And so it's so, so hopeful and helpful. Thank you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Julia.
Hi. I love, 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 love this topic. And I'll tell you, like, identifying the victim in myself has really helped me because I put out sticky notes with my victim speak and also the different situations they come out. and new language. So instead of saying I can't, it's I'm willing to. And it's been such a game changer. So I have these stickers around to remind me when I find myself falling into that. And also sharing with my husband and us looking at the way we use language and identifying, you know, the judge and the smarty pants, which we both are, and those kinds of elements and hearing it in my clients, I have so much more empathy and I'm able to relate to them in such a deep level, just from those string of words that you provided and how you helped us go deep into this topic. And it's a game changer. I'm willing to is a game changer. I've ended up doing things that honestly, even 2 weeks ago, I can't. And now it's just, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to learn this. I'm willing to change. I'm willing. And it works. Thank you.
Yay. Oh, I'm so, so happy to hear it. I'm getting chills as you're speaking. Awesome. And it's such a great just inspiration for all of us of just like starting to put the tools into use, right? Beautiful. Thank you. And it also speaks to one of the other pieces we looked at last week, which I'm going to keep on reminding you about, all of you about now from here on in, which is persistence and consistency, right? Not just kind of like having the breakthrough or the new understanding, letting it gather dust in your notebook. If you want the change, work it, work the tools, come back persistent and consistent. Beautiful. All right, so then let's keep on going with all of this. And I'm gonna lay out a 6-step process for befriending fear. I'm gonna lay it out in a linear way because that's the only way to lay it out. But of course, as we know, life and change and transformation doesn't really happen linearly. It happens cyclically, right? So that's also back to this persistence and consistency, right? So when you work with yourself and you work with clients, you may come back, you will come back to different steps of the process. And it may not necessarily be in order. I'm going to give you an order today, again, because we're linear, and one that is a good, reliable order, but always coach the what based on the who. Sometimes it will, you know, it'll be a little bit out of order. Two of the steps will come together, right? So again, like I always say, I wish I could just give you, it's this, but that's just not how human beings work. I'm giving you kind of all of the tools and the pieces. So if we were going to step things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, step one for befriending fear is becoming aware of your fears, right? First step is just awareness. The more that we can become clear on what our fears are, the more we can support our clients, use our creating awareness skills on what the fears are, how they play out in our lives, if we're working on business, in our businesses, then just the creating awareness is starting to bring the fears out of the blind spot. In the blind spot is where they sabotage the most. In the blind spot is where they create the resistance the most, right? So that bringing awareness starts to bring them out of the blind spot. Now we can talk about them. Now we can actually start to become friends with the fears because we know that they exist. So when you're working with clients one-on-one, obviously, you know, you're not going to just bring this up out of the blue. You'll start to support clients to become aware of their fears because they'll be in a place that they're stuck or holding themselves back. And you'll sense that it's related to fear, or they'll sense that it's related to fear, right? And so when that happens, you can use any of the creating awareness skills that we spoke about. Some of the questions that I like to ask in this part of the process to create awareness The first is the what's at risk question, which we looked at in our questioning skills. So what would be at risk for you if you were to really take action, or if you were to really achieve this goal? What relationships or sense of self or habits or patterns or ideas would be at risk for you if you were to fully go after what you want here? You've got that from your questioning module that I'll put that in the chat right now as well. And of course, the reason why I like this question as a possible question to bring awareness to fear is because all of the risk pieces that we looked at last week, when we can kind of see where our risk manager is working, it can help point to the fears. Another way that you can support clients to become aware of their fears, you know, when they're stuck on taking action, is to simply ask, what are you scared of? What is the fear? What's holding you back? Right? And when you ask the question of what's holding you back, the first layer of answers you might get may be the resistances. You don't have enough time. This feels like a stupid idea, right? And so then you'll assess if those are legitimate or not, because sometimes the resistance is legitimate. And if it's not, then you can go into, okay, so if there was a fear here, what would that be? So let's do that as a group together right now, this step one, creating awareness. And you're all already, you know, aware, I think, but just for us to kind of be in the practice. So what's a goal that you're wanting to achieve right now that maybe feels in arrested development? And not because of sound reasons, right? Not because it's truly not the right timing or truly you're not ready. Like you have a sense that you are ready, but you're not moving forward on it. So what's a goal that you're wanting to achieve right now that you're not really moving forward on? And if you want to share in the chat so that we get some ideas, that would be great too. Rachel saying, making the video for your crowd fund. Still working on that, Rachel. Great. Stephanie, also a video, create an intro video for your website. Naomi, recording and sharing my original music. Promoting your fall group course, Chelsea. Ooh, Elijah has paid someone to help her create a podcast, but you're not doing the homework. Yeah, good calling yourself out there. Outreach. Failed conversations, clarifying your message, creating sessions for your offering. Okay, good. Not being fully honest in your relationship. All right, next question. I'm going to ask you the what's at risk question, right? So what would be at risk for you if you were to really go after or achieve this goal? So if you were to really take action or achieve this goal, what relationship, what part of your identity, what sense of self, or what habit, or what pattern, or what idea would be at risk for you? What's the risk? Being seen, getting more pointed and following through on commitments to yourself, being ignored or rejected, getting more pointed. interested in your point of view. Wendy, you're having trouble identifying what this is. Do you want to come on?
Hi, sure.
Hi, okay, so the thing that you identified, just tell us again, what is the thing that's kind of a little stalled or in arrested development?
So creating my first offering. So I have an outline and I started this weekend and I wrote out the whole first session, you know, like every part of it. And then I recorded it. I did a Zoom as if I had clients to see how it would go. And so I could listen to it. And I felt like that went very well. And then Sunday and yesterday, like flat, totally numb, just like disconnected from everything.
Yeah.
But like, I can't get back into, like, I can't even, it's like cloudy. It's like, I can't even picture it. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So first of all, yay for taking those steps. That's amazing. And it sounds to me like that this is like classic fear, right? Like you took the steps, you started to take a risk. We don't know what it is yet. We'll get there. And then, you know, ego was like, no, danger, 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 right? So first of all, it's normal, right? We've already learned that, like, I have chills because you're making progress, right? So this is just part of the process. This is great. So if there was a fear there, Wendy, of really creating this offer and putting it out there, what are you scared of? What are you scared might happen?
Yeah, that's where it's really, it's not 100% clear to me. So it might be just a sense of self, like, what if I'm successful? Mm-hmm. I'm not like getting that ping, like, oh gosh, that's it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay. You know, it doesn't, right? So it could be still making itself known, but let's just see if we can look a little bit more deeply. So when you say like, there might be a fear of being successful, what does that mean for you?
And it, as I'm thinking about it, I think it's also a fear of being visible and being seen. So, and, you know, I'm sure there's some crossover there, but yeah, as I think about it, and like, you know, the wildest case scenario might be being visible and being successful. Like, oh, that's like outer space, right? That's so far from where I have been.
Yeah.
What I grew up with. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you scared might happen if you were visible and successful?
Well, I'd have to be accountable to myself, mm-hmm. right? To my goal, my vision, whatever, all the things, to my clients, you know, all the things. I think it feels like I'd have to be accountable to my vision, to what I think my vision is. So like, what if that's not it, but I say that it is, and I have to be accountable to this thing now that I've created, right? Yeah. It's like the monster under the bed. I don't know, something is so weird, right?
Well, no, I mean, I think, again, it's all very normal, right? So weird and not weird. So tell me if I'm getting this right. I think what I'm hearing is part of the fear is like, what if you get stuck being accountable to a vision that isn't actually aligned to you, or is one that you want to change, and then you're responsible to it?
That could be part of it. Mm-hmm. I think there's many things going on here, actually, but I think that could be part of it, yeah.
Okay, good. And it feels like just our short conversation is sparking some other thoughts for you.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chelsea is saying in the chat, I'm not sure what's at risk, but I can identify a fear of failure. Perfect, Chelsea. So that's like where the at-risk question is just leading, getting us closer and closer to what's the fear. So that's great. Okay. So that's actually my next question for all of you. So based on what you're seeing, and you might be seeing more than one fear, right? So just write down all of the fears that are coming up when you think about taking action or achieving the goal. Now, remember last week we looked at kind of some of the most common fears. So you have those to draw from, but there's a much wider range as well. So the question is just to write down all of the fears that come up that, you know, you're starting to see now when you think about taking action or achieving this goal. What are the fears that come up? It might just be one, it might be a couple. Okay, so that's step one, simple, right? Becoming aware that there is a fear and starting, and you don't have to like nail it, right? But just starting to identify what the fear is. That's becoming aware of the fears. From there, step two, if we're going linearly, understand the fear, understand the fears. So what this step is about is seeing how the fear works in your life, not just in this particular situation, but more globally, how this fear shows up and what your reactions are when these fears come up. So some of that is some of the resistances that come up, right? Which we've already looked at. The idea being the more that you can understand how they show up, what their impact is when they show up, how you react, then, you have kind of an even better grasp, right? Like you're becoming a little bit more friends. You're seeing more what's going on here. So for this part of the process, you know, you can ask, what are the behaviors that this fear causes you to act out? Or what are the other places in your life that this fear shows up? Or how is the fear manifesting in terms of action or inaction or in terms of thoughts or emotions? So I'll put some of these into the chat. And you can just start to answer some of that for yourself. Maybe pick one of the, if you listed more than one fear, pick one that you want to work with a bit more, and you can answer some of these questions. So this is really just about bringing more awareness. So once you've created awareness around the fear, and once you look to understand more how the fear is working in your life right now, or how it shows up in your life right now. And by the way, just by starting to do those things, you know, as practitioners, like we're the energetics of that is that it's normal, is that it's good. Like this is right back to what we looked at last week. This isn't a problem to be fixed. This is a dynamic to befriend, to understand more. Yeah, Elijah, the behavior of I don't know can be related to the confused one, right? In terms of resistance archetype, right? So back to, we're gonna continue with fear, but again, like channel the confused one or the one that doesn't know, right? Like ask them what, you know, what's going on, right? That can be another inroad in and soften some of that resistance. And an inroad into the fear as well. Okay, so we've created awareness around the fear. We've started to understand more how the fear works. So next step in this linear way around befriending, this is the step, I kind of call it honoring, engaging, and holding deep space for the fear. So honoring, engaging, and really holding space for the fear in a way that we don't in our everyday lives consciously honor, engage, hold it, see it. So this step in one way or another is about dialoguing with the fear itself. And we'll look at how to do that in a little bit. But before we do, I wanna just kind of talk about this step a little bit more. This honoring, this engaging, this holding space, holding a container. It's almost like the way we look at holding containers with clients, so they're seen and heard. This step is about holding a container for the fear to be seen and heard. And when we do this, not only does it allow us to learn so much more about the fear, but it has a couple of functions. So it allows us to learn so much more about the fear. It allows us to learn from the highest wisdom of the fear. We'll look at that and get to that a little bit. It allows us to bring the fear more and more out of the blind spot, right, into the light to see it. It's kind of the heart of making friends with it. And it also supports regulation, which is a really helpful piece in unwinding our fears. So I'm going to break each of these pieces down. As you dialogue with the fear, as you really hold this space for the fear to be seen and heard and loved and honored. It will give, you're giving it an opportunity to really share why it's there, why it's been serving you, how it's been serving you. And I know all of us here already know this, our fears have been serving us in one way or another. They've been doing something for us, or else they wouldn't be there, right? We wouldn't keep on holding on to it if it wasn't doing something for us in some way. So it allows us to see that. As we dialogue and learn more about it and hold the space for it, that's when that deeper befriending happens. So we really move out of the hating on, the rejecting, the fighting, the fears. And the more that we do this, first of all, back to the story of the sun and the wind, right? The less they have to fight back to be seen. But the other thing that happens, and this goes back to Richard Schwartz's work. He's the founder of IFS, Internal Family Systems. He talks about parts and how we have lots of different parts inside of us. And one of, without getting too much into it, one of the things that he talks about is that when we're not paying attention to our parts, they can blend together. They get blended together. And I'm not an IFS student, so I can't like speak too much more. I just know a little bit about it. And the reason why I bring him up is because I had never heard of IFS and I've been doing this work. And when I learned about IFS, I realized, oh, this is derivative. You know how I've learned certain things and then I've adapted them, and I'm sure it's derivative from his work. So I really want to honor that and him. IFS stands for Internal Family Systems, the body of work. So anyway, the reason why I bring this up is because what I have seen to be true is that when our fears are in our blind spots, we think they're all of us. They, to use Richard Schwartz's word, they're blended with the whole of who we are. And then we can't make decisions. Like we don't have so much agency because all of who we are. The more that we can dialogue and pull it apart and give it space and see the fear, it unblends in a way from our authentic self. Right. And so then we can like work the two together. Yeah. Bruce is saying his most recent book is No Bad Parts, which I have not read, but I've heard great things about. And I heard an interview on No Bad Parts, which I'll post in the group. So it helps us unblend. Our authentic self can have more sovereignty and then interact with parts of ourselves and work with our parts to make better decisions. That's part of what the dialoguing process can do. The more, now back to persistence and consistency, you don't want to dialogue with, you dialogue with your fear once, and you'll make a lot of headway, you'll get a lot of information, you'll bring it out of the blind spot, it'll help you move forward. Like we looked at last week, it'll give you enough to kind of like maybe take the next step. But if you really wanna befriend, persistence and consistency, right? You wanna come back to it and you wanna come back to it, you wanna come back to it. I consistently dialogue and hold space and containers for my fears. They don't necessarily always give me new information. That's not what I'm seeking. I mean, it's nice when the new information comes forward. I gladly take it, the new wisdom. But where I actually find more of the power is continuing to see it, to be with it, to pull it out, to get to know it, to get to hear the wisdom over and over again. That's that. Then we become like old friends and we can make good decisions together. Me and my fear. right? It no longer has to be like the man fighting to keep his hat on. It can relax because it knows that I'm not out to get it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to bypass it. And we can make good decisions together. That makes sense? Couple pieces. So in a little bit, we'll do like a group, a dialogue in a group way. Next week, I'll model it one-on-one. But just a couple other pieces I want to share about the dialoguing. So this is something we look at more in advanced, but I just kind of want to like toss it in here for now if it resonates. When we're in our fears, our nervous system is a bit in a dysregulated place. Our nervous system is activated. It's very hard to, well, in some ways we make our best decisions when our nervous system is activated. That's why we've got our fight, flight, flee, et cetera. But if the fear, if the fire alarm is a little too sensitive and our nervous system is activated, that's also where we can make our worst decisions in a way. The dialoguing process, the holding space for the fear, whether you do it through visualization or another way, in general, it allows your system. There have been a lot of research and studies that visualization or connecting in with your body in these conscious ways, right? We know this from meditation, et cetera. It's a form of meditation. It supports regulation, just overall of the nervous system, which just then allows us to make better decisions. So that's just a nice byproduct of doing this work as well. I'm gonna model it for you. We'll do it via visualization. For a number of years, as I've been teaching any kind of visualization, I always have someone ask a question, well, what if my clients can't visualize? And there are ways around visualization. You can do it as a dialogue. You can do it as a conversation. You can just feel the energy, right? So there's ways to adapt it. And I'll just share, I never knew this, but it's interesting. I'll just share, I recently found out that there is such a thing called aphantasia, which I'm just starting to learn more about, which is that some people just don't have the ability to see things in their mind's eye. And not just their fear, because sometimes that can be resistance, but anything like picture a box in your mind's eye, right? So some people, probably if you have it, you don't even know that it's a thing necessarily, right? But I think it's good for us as practitioners to be aware of. And we can shift to other ways of doing this. I'm gonna drop into your member center a little. It's not comprehensive, but it's a little training that I did on what it means to be trauma-informed. I won't speak too much about it right now. You can listen to the training, but I feel like this is a good place to insert it because whenever anything that we do, even just having a regular conversation about a strategy has the potential to trigger a trauma, right? It's not, it can happen in any event, but particularly when we're doing visualization, when we're looking at where do we hold this fear in our body, if we're gonna go that route, you know, we wanna understand as best we can some good practices to not re-trigger any traumas. Okay, so we'll swing back around and I'll model as the group how to do that in a minute. We'll do a visualization, but I want to get through just the next couple of steps. So step four is like less of a step. It's something that's going to kind of be integrated either into step three or later on. But I just want to remind you of the importance of the four levels of learning and processing. The first two steps are really hit that cognitive level. When we do the dialogue, it can connect to the spirit level, to the body level, you know, for sure emotion will probably come up. But in particular, I think part of what makes this whole process powerful is connection to spirit. And I want to remind you that you don't have to be spiritual. When I say connection to spirit, what I mean is connection to some piece of wisdom or some entity or energy that is bigger than your ego, essentially, that is bigger than you are. When we connect to wisdom or to energy that is bigger than we are, there's a trust there. So whether it's through the wisdom of the fear itself, whether at some point through the process, it's, you know, connection to the higher wisdom of the fear or to the client's higher wisdom or whatever it is, that is often a very powerful piece in here. So once we've done all of this, we've created awareness around the fear, understood how the fear works, dialogued, honored, created the space, then our client is ready to make a choice about how they want to move forward, about action that they want to take. And you know, I've already been talking about that. That's because now that fear isn't blended in. It's not quietly sabotaging in the blind spot. But that after you've done all of that, then you can decide with the fear how much attention you want to pay to it. What is the action you want to take, et cetera, et cetera. And so this can be simply a question of, you know, after the dialoguing, how do you want to move forward, right? What action do you want to take next? And even if at that point, like the person might say, yes, I want to make the video, or I want to, you know, get more point. I'm using some of your examples, or want to get more pointed in the writing, right? That's great. But at that point in the process, the client might say, you know what? I actually feel I'm not ready to make the video. That's great too. So long as it's an empowered decision at that point, because of all the dialoguing that's happened, right? It's maybe it's the same action, not making the video, but the decision, there's a decision to not make it or to wait on it, whatever it is. Hopefully at this point though, even if it's not the original step, right, there's gonna be maybe a stretch to the next place in there. And then the last piece is committing and recommitting and recommitting, the persistence and the consistence of both whatever actions will be taken, as well as coming back to the dialoguing, coming back to being with the fears, that persistence and consistence. Okay, so we'll go through, we've gone through steps one and two. We'll go through the rest of them in a minute. I feel like there's some questions in the chat. So Wendy's asking, when you work with clients on these steps, can the awareness and dialoguing take several sessions as it needs some time to come to the surface and be revealed? So I find, I mean, and this is after years of practice, right? So it might take some time in the beginning, that in a 45-minute session, we can pretty reliably get through everything I just laid out. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to come back to do more dialoguing or looking deeper in later sessions. But as you practice more and more, it's reasonable to think that you can get, you know, through all of this, I'd say, if not in 45 minutes, in 60 minutes for sure. LV asks, would you equate your fear with your inner critic? LV, do you want to come on for that? Talk more about that.
Yeah. Sorry, I was leaning back on my. Yeah, that's a tool I use with some of my clients, just creating that those two sort of personas, the inner critic and the inner mentor, so they can kind of like, you know, one sends the other one away, or to just have that dialogue. So it just came up that maybe that's a version of a fear.
Yeah, for sure. It's a version of a fear, a version of this idea of we have different parts inside of us that we want to pay attention to, right? That we want to hear from, that we want to give space to, that we want to separate out. So that's a you know, I think for some clients, it will be a version of a fear. I think for other, it might be around thought patterns, you know, but I don't think the labels are that important. I think what's awesome is you're doing that work and you're giving them opportunity to bring these parts out of the blind spot. Really like that process that we just looked at, you're doing it with the inner critic, right? Creating right. awareness, understanding it more, giving it space. Bringing in that mentor piece, it's you know, doing all that for the mentor, but that's also maybe some of the higher wisdom being brought in, right? So I think in a way that is that process adapted.
And now that I'm on, I feel like some of it is nice. And I'm glad you mentioned the, what you're going to share on trauma, because I'm stumbling sometime when I actually realize there is deep trauma embedded in some of these fears. And I'm not struggling, but it's very challenging to navigate that. I can feel I'm not able to deal with those like deep. And so it's, yeah.
Yeah, I think we all
traumas. You
know, like there's a difference between my thinking on this has shifted so much over the years, and I'm always in process with this. I just want to share transparently where I'm at with it now is that, we all have like our own scope. And I think that there is a difference in the scope of coaching versus the scope of therapy. I used to want to believe that if we just like did the coaching thing, we'd never butt up against trauma. And, you know, but just being a human being in like a human world is and because there's so much trauma, you know, like I don't, again, like you can just be having a conversation about the strategy that you're going to take and it can be activated. So I don't think it's realistic or helpful to say this is in this box and this is in this box, right? What I find helpful is to have guardrails, number one, to know there are, and that's what I'll give you in the recording, just to begin with some practices to not re-trigger. And to understand, you know, while we're on the topic of risk, that our work is risky. Like that, I wish I could say otherwise. We always want to create safe space as much as we can. And there's always risk involved.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. So you'll get that recording. The other recording you'll get in August is the conversation between me and Rhea Wright, who's a Sacred Depths graduate and also has been a therapist for a number of decades. And we get into some other, less about trauma, but other pertinent issues around the difference between the scope of therapy and coaching that I think will also be helpful. Okay, any other thoughts or questions before we go into the dialoguing process? Rose.
Yeah, I just, we were in the chat, a few of us were talking about this idea of I don't know. And I think Elijah and a bunch of, and I've been playing with this idea of this I don't know space. It's, you know, the talks that say that if you say I don't know, you're telling your being that you don't know, and then you don't know. But the other thing that I'm much more tuned in with is this idea of just the possibility in the I don't know space, where that's where that's where all creation happens. Yeah. And as humans, and we want to control and we want the answers. And, you know, especially trauma informed, but if we have trauma, but so it's a really, and when we're in these places of wanting to put ourselves out there and facing risk, there's just all this uncertainty. And so I guess, and yet I know as an artist also that hanging out in the void is really powerful, but how? I mean,
So first of all, we'll do a full call on embracing the mystery, which is what you're speaking to. You know, it will take a little while to get there. So we'll look more deeply, right? So sometimes I don't know is because it is not yet meant to be revealed. It is still in the mystery, right? So that's one motivation, or, you know, we could say like what's behind an I don't know. And so that wants to be handled one way, embracing the mystery. Other times what's behind an I don't know is resistance, right? Like that's your MO. You actually do know.
Right.
But that's the way that you react to being scared about something, is like going blank, or I just can't figure it out, or right. And so in that sense, that's what I was sharing with Elijah before, you may want to go deeper with that resistance, or that energy of that resistance, right? Archetypally, I would call it the confused one, or the one who doesn't mm-hmm. know. You know, and then kind of dialogue, same as this process we're looking at befriending, dialogue with that one. And that can help poke some holes into the I don't know. So there's like the I don't know where it's like really in the mystery, not yet ready to be revealed. And then sometimes I don't know, which is just a front for I'm scared.
So it's discernment and really understanding where either we are or they are, or okay, makes
sense. Totally. And sometimes a client will know right away once you bring it up, like, oh no, that is my fear, right? And then other times there, you want to have a conversation about it, or a dialogue, or, you know, whatever it is. So it's,
okay.
You know.
Thanks. More to come, right?
Okay. All right, so we've done steps one and two. Let's continue on. Hopefully through some of the journaling questions we looked at earlier, you've got a fear that you'd like to work with. We're going to go deeper into honoring and embracing and dialoguing with that fear. We'll do it as a group, which is similar to one-on-one, which I'll model in our next session, but obviously like with a group, it's not going to be as personalized. I'm going to put it forward to you in terms of a visualization of seeing and looking. But if that doesn't work for you, similar to what we spoke about before, just sense into the energy. It's okay if you don't see. So just note before we're about to close our eyes and kind of go into the dialogue. So just note for yourself the fear that you want to be working with. And if it's comfortable for you, I invite you to close your eyes. If not, just go inward and start to remember your body. Notice your breath and come home to yourself. And taking a few moments to just settle in with yourself. I invite you to locate the part of your body where this particular fear is living today, is hanging out today. You don't have to overthink. Just scan your body, notice it might be a tingling sensation, or a place where you feel tension, or somewhere that your awareness is bringing you to, maybe your back, your belly, your forehead, your throat. Where is this fear living inside of you right now? And wherever it is, wherever you sense it is, allow yourself to focus in on that part of your body where the fear is residing. And take a nice deep breath into that part of your body. Breathe right into where the fear is. Really get connected to that place in your body. Almost as if you were a detective, and you get out your magnifying glass and your flashlight, go right into this part of your body where the fear is living, and really take it in, take in the fear, what it looks like, to really see it. Does it have a color? Does it have a shape? Or a particular image? What does this fear look like as it's living in your body? Is it hot or cold where it lives? Is it damp or dry? Is there a scent or a smell? Gather whatever information you can and connect with it. Connect with this fear. Hold space for it. Be with it. And I'm invite you to ask the fear some questions. And the fear might answer in words, or you'll have a sense or a feeling. Ask your fear, how long have you been with me? How long have you been with me? And just allow what comes up. And as you take your next breath, connect even more deeply with your fear. Hold space for it. Be with it. Let it be seen and heard. And ask it, is there a particular event or series of events that brought you into being? Is there an event or a series of events, fear, that brought you into being? Continue to be with it. Breathe deeply with your fear. And ask it, what purpose have you served in my life? What purpose have you served in my life? Let's see what wants to come up there. What purpose have you served? And continue to be with it, connect with it, just really hold space, honor your fear, and ask it from its highest wisdom, what does it really want for you? And what does it want you to know? From its highest wisdom, what does it really want for you? What does it want you to know? Ask it what it wants you to know about your next steps. What does it want you to know about your next steps? You're doing well, just a little bit more. Continue to connect with the fear and ask it what part of yourself wants to be activated to support you in all of this. What part of you is ready to be activated so that it can support you? And from there, take some moments with the fear and be in gratitude. Be in gratitude for the ways that it served. Let it know that you honor its existence. Thank it for the wisdom that it brought forth. Really be with it, give it that honor. And ask it if it would like to change form inside of you. It may or may not want to, and whatever it does is okay. It doesn't mean anything. Just ask and watch and be present and notice. And take a few more moments being with this. Give it thanks and gratitude. And taking, as you're ready, a nice deep breath in and out, letting it go for now and opening your eyes when you're ready. You can take a moment now and just jot down anything that you want to jot down. And I forgot to mention before we started, you'll get a resource sheet with all of that for yourself. So don't worry so much about the questions that were asked. What is it that you want to jot down? What do you want to remember? Okay. We're going to keep on going through steps 5 and 6, and then we'll kind of take a look at all that came through. So remember 5. So 4 was kind of, I sprinkled step 4 into the visualization, asking from the highest wisdom. So remember, step 5 is making a conscious choice, right? So I want to ask each of you, how would you like to move forward? What actions, whatever they are, right? Empowered actions, would you like to take this? What does your highest wisdom want you to know about taking those actions? What does your highest wisdom want you to know? Natalie, there doesn't have to be a difference. I'm just kind of sprinkling in the highest wisdom piece again in case it comes through in a different way. All right, so let's pause here for a moment. What are you seeing? What's coming through? Or where are you getting stuck? I'd love to hear from one or two of you. Julia.
Okay. So, sales conversation. I have no problem when they come to me and we have sales conversations. The idea of inviting for sales conversations, reaching out and inviting for sales conversations, it is something that I can do. I don't want to do it because I am not often, but it's always been a no or an ignored or rejected, always when I reach out, not the other way around. Even though I know that I do need to reach out. And when I ask myself like the questions and whatnot, I'm met with, we're fine, we can go sell. Tell me who to sell to right now and I'll do it. Like that kind of resistance is what comes up for me. It's like, give me the names, I'll go ask them. And I'm like, okay, you're not helping. Cause even if I give you a name, it's not like you're going to call.
Yeah. So what do you sense based on like everything that you're sharing? What do you sense is, if there was a fear, what is the fear or the limiting belief around doing the outreach?
I draw a blank. I have no sensation in my body. I don't see anything. And usually if I don't see anything, then I don't move. Yeah. If I can't see it, then I'll just stay there and be like, yeah, you show me a clear picture and I'll walk into it.
Yeah, so I'm not right. So we're not looking right now for solutions or clear pictures.
Yeah.
So yes. Don't like we may or may not get there. Let's stick with like the block for a moment, right? So even let's try this. I don't know, we'll see, because we have a short period of time, right? So, but we're gonna try. Yeah. So take a moment, close your eyes. And can you feel some of the like every time I've tried before to reach out, it results in a no. Can you feel some of that? Where do you feel that?
My stomach.
Your stomach. Okay, good. So, oh, go ahead. It's in your stomach?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're doing really well. So just lean into that feeling in your stomach of the, you know, every time I reach out, it's a no. What does it feel like in your stomach?
It's like a tight band. It's like you're trying to birth something that's refusing to birth, that miscarrying.
Okay, good. You're doing really well. Continue to give space and honoring and energy to that tight band feeling in your stomach. And ask it what it wants you to know. What is it that it, from its highest wisdom, what it wants you to know?
It doesn't want to do the things that make me feel useless.
Yeah. And so doing this outreach makes you feel useless. Okay, good. Ask it where it knows this useless feeling from, where else in your life?
From the time I was young, I was always performing, and all I remember are all the times the performances didn't go well, or when we had to fight so hard to show up on the stage and it didn't have the effect that we planned for, and it felt useless. Like all that time, all that work, all that energy was for nothing, absolutely nothing.
Do you notice the energy that you're speaking with right now? What is that?
So there's no point. What's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's no point. This is something that you know really well.
Yeah, this is all a big joke.
This is all a big joke.
You're never going to make it. Yeah.
Tell me if I'm hearing this right, Julia. I might not be, but I heard like I'm a big joke when I do this.
That's right.
Yeah. So continue to connect with that, all of that energy in your stomach. And thank it. First, just be in gratitude, right? Because that's an incredible protector, protecting you from being a joke. How old is it?
10.
So that's what the 10-year-old really believes. Speak to it, Julia, from your adult self. Let it know what your adult self knows about putting yourself out there.
At that time, we didn't have guidance. We didn't have the information that we have now. We didn't have support. We really didn't know. And we tried our best. Things are different now. We've learned so much. We know so much. And where we go, we are wanted. We've done so much work to build that trust them to earn it. We can trust it. It wants us.
Yeah, let your body receive that. Let that feel it
all over.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, really beautifully done. And so take one more moment with that feeling in your stomach and see, it might look and feel exactly the same, or it may have shifted. What do you notice about it?
I can breathe.
Yeah, you can breathe. So breathe. Yeah. So from this place, what's the highest wisdom around moving forward with outreach?
We have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Nothing. So much good out there, and this is a part of it. We just have to take that step and believe in it, and it will work out for us.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And last question for now.
We have absolutely nothing to be afraid of, and we're not a joke.
Yeah, take that in. We have nothing to be afraid of. We are not a joke.
It's going to be okay.
And you're going to be okay. Breathe that in, Julia. Really feel that fully in your body. And then last question for right now. As you do outreach, there are going to be some no's. It's just part of it, right? What is it that you want to remember when there are some of the inevitable no's?
That's okay.
That's okay. Yeah, what is that? That's okay. What does that feel like in your body?
That it is okay.
Beautiful. Good. Really well done. You can take another moment. Open your eyes. Awesome. I love that smile. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Any last piece you want to say?
Yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. So if we had another hour, we would go and break down the work that Julie and I just did. We won't right now because I want to honor our time. We'll do more next week. But I'm so glad that you raised your hand, Julia, because it's like we want to learn how to personal, right? I gave you the visualization just as a group, you know, hoping that things will come up, right? And you'll get places, but this is a process that is best done one-on-one using all the skills that we're learning, questioning skills, creating awareness skills, et cetera, right? And there's different, like I said, like I hit all of those five or six, whatever the steps are, you know, with Julia, but they were like a little bit out of order, right? Cyclical versus linear. Okay, I know that there, Dottie, I'm going to get to you in a second. If you can hang on, I know there's some questions in the chat, which I can also get to. I do want to honor that we're also at 2:30 though, for those of you that have to hop off. So your homework for this week is to start to practice this. Come back to this fear for yourself that you've been working with, right? Persistence and consistency. Continue to dialogue, continue to be with it. If you're working with your partners, start to experiment with this some more. You'll get resource sheets. You'll get like the visualization that I gave. You'll get all of that so that you can use that as some jumping off questions, you know, questions you have that you can use, et cetera. If you've got to go, go. If not, I'll hang on for some questions. Dottie.
Thank you. This shouldn't take long. I'm just curious what you might say to somebody that says, I don't know what it means when you say hold space for it.
Yeah, so you may, I'm using that language here because we all know that language, but you probably don't want to use that for most people. You probably just want to say like, be with it, right? Connect in with it, be with its energy, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. Yeah, you always want to know your crowd and use language, you know, adapt your language for the crowd.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sonia, do you want to come and ask your question? I want to make sure I understand it.
Hi.
Hi.
So for me, there is a lot of childhood trauma, and I'm pretty good at stepping out of the fear to not let me envelop it and seeing it for what it is. And then I'm good for 10 minutes and then I forget. And it keeps wrapping itself over me and closing me in. And I end up not taking the action steps. I mean, I should probably put them closer to the work somehow, but I'm just wondering if there's some wisdom, some technique, something special you know of to do when it is connected with a really old story.
Yeah, it's such a great question. So I wish we had many, many hours. For those of you, when we're done with Sacred Depths, we have an advanced program where we do one of our full retreats is on fear, and we'll get like all of these deeper questions. For now, I want to say that anytime we look at fear, and I hate to say big fear, or big trauma or small trauma, because that's not right either to label, but anytime we look at fear, it is related, right? And the trauma might just be like we fell off our bike when we were a kid and we created a certain story about it, or it might be something, I don't even want to say that has more impact, because that could have a huge ripple effect impact, right? But so in one way or another, it is, and that's why I was saying we can't avoid the trauma. In one way or another, it is going to butt up against it if we look at fear, and that can happen, you know, regardless. And so first, just to honor it, if it is a big persistent trauma, that keeps on pulling you in energetically, there may be some shadow in that, but it also might be something to actually work with a trauma specialist. If it's not shadow, it might be something to work with a trauma specialist on if it's pulling in that way. But I would say in terms of our scope here, the tools are the persistence and the consistence. So when I'm like really, I call it, I think I've shared with you before, like when I'm in my vortex of fear, you know, where I'm just like feeling it and it's holding me back. My tool, I mean, I'm a big journaler, so I come back and I use all these tools that I'm sharing. So I will speak to my not good enough one. Usually for me, it's not good enough, right? So I will speak to my not good enough one. I will ask it to speak to me. I will, close my eyes. And if I want to dialogue that way, I'm more of a journaler. So if somebody else isn't holding the space for me, it's harder for me to like close my eyes and feel, but I will come back and I might just negotiate with it the next baby step, just the tiniest little thing. And then it might come back again. And then I work with it some more. This befriending process is really like making friends, deep, intimate relationship. And then again, like in terms of that energetic feeling that you describe, some of it really might be for a trauma specialist, but some of it might be like, you can poke holes in it. Some of it might be about shifting up, you know, through the persistence and the consistency. Some of it might be about shifting the energy, putting on some music, for example, and, you know, moving in a different way, or connecting with you know, similar to what Elvie was talking about before, like, okay, so what's, and that's, you know, I asked this question, like, what part of ourself wants to be activated, right? So maybe it's the warrior, maybe it's the whatever, and connect into that energy so that you're moving at a different energetic frequency, connecting into that different archetypal energy. I know I'm talking fast, but is this giving you some thoughts and ideas for how to play?
Yeah, this is actually brilliant. I did notice during your visualization that I didn't do a very good job befriending it, because it didn't want to be bad anymore. Whatever, during your visualization, I got the sense it doesn't want to be bad anymore. It doesn't want to be kept small anymore. Yeah. And connecting it with something that feels a bit more empowered and less like a victim.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I feel like you got what you needed there. Beautiful. Raka is asking if it can be overwhelming for some to go straight into the fear. Yeah, 100%, right? So always coach the what based on the who. That's why I like steps 1 and 2 a lot of the time, to be more on that cognitive level in like more of the discussion. And then I can kind of sense from there, and I also see with my client based on what kind of emotion is coming up, if we want to proceed at all, right? It may not be time yet. If we want to proceed and do the like more dialogue visualization, or if we just want to continue to have a conversation about it, you can still ask a lot of those questions in regular conversation. And then it might be enough for then, right? And continue befriending from there. Sometimes it's remember about the regulation piece too, right? Sometimes if you're a practitioner that has practices that you share around regulating nervous system, that might be something that you want to slip in as well. All right. Any other cues before we wrap for today? I hope you enjoy making deeper friends with your fears over this week. Stick with it, be with it. As questions come up, let me know, and we'll continue next week. Have a great rest of your day.